A call to live, a call to die, a call to spend your life for Jesus, here and around the world till He returns. These are the stories and conversations about God's mission and the people dedicating their life to it. I'm your host, Paul Aiken, Provost and Professor of Missions at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. This is Amazon to the Himalayas.
This is Amazon to the Himalayas podcast. I'm your host, Paul Aiken. In today's episode, we're going to be talking and learning about Upstream Sending, a newer missions organization based out of Louisville, Kentucky. I'm talking today with Nathan Sloan, who is the executive director of Upstream Sending. Before his current role as the executive director, Nathan led global missions at Sojourn Church here in Louisville, also served as one of their teaching pastors. Under his leadership, Sojourn sent out many, many missionaries around the world. Nathan and his wife, Sarah, also served cross-culturally as missionaries in Nepal, discipling leaders there and helping plant the church there. Nathan holds a doctorate of missiology from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's the author of several books. And maybe most importantly, he's a personal friend, and I always enjoy talking missiology and ecclesiology with him. Nathan, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, Paul. It's a joy.
Yeah, so I already gave a little bit of a bio there, but maybe kind of fill in some of the blanks there. Maybe start by just telling us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks. Again, thanks for having me. Paul, we have been friends a long time from our local church days and then now being in the same city. It's fun. I'm a bit of an eclectic person. I was kind of raised in a non-Christian home in East Tennessee, came to faith through a friend really early on, called a vision for missions. Didn't know what that meant. Like most people, the Lord used all kinds of people and situations to develop me. But kind of fast forward through high school and college, I spent a term as a missionary in Kathmandu, Nepal, really got a heart for the unreached. Specifically, I was working with Nepali, but was working toward developing a team with Tibetans, met a single lady there, my wife, who was a journeyman. We came back and got married and I've been here in Louisville for about 16 years. So I never thought I would be in Louisville for 16 years, but the Lord is sovereign and He has a plan. So we're following that.
Awesome. So you're now executive director for a newer mission organization, Upstream Sending. I would love for our listeners to hear and learn more about that organization. Like, give us some background. How did it get started? Why did it get started? What was the original intent and purpose behind this organization?
Yeah, so let me back up from Upstream Sending to, we are part of what's called the Upstream Collective, and it's a ministry that is seeking to help local churches send well. It's the sole focus. Everything is geared toward that, is empowering the church to send well. We do that through equipping. So we coach and have cohorts for leaders. We have a website where we have tons of resources, things like white papers, how to develop missions awareness, how to send an individual, how to assess them, how to do crisis care. They're like white papers. And then we have Upstream Publishing, which is a small publishing house. We publish about 12 books, but all really niche in the Christian publishing world for churches who want to send. And then the third branch is Upstream Sending. So Upstream Collective really started with two missionaries in Spain. They were engaging with the church in the U.S. That church was sending short-term teams to them. And honestly, they just had some really bad experiences. Their experience with the church in the U.S. is their missiology was really low. And then they started engaging, rubbing shoulders with missionaries who were sent from a church, but had been functionally orphaned by the church. And I know, Paul, you probably know people like that, right? You're sent out, you're gone for a long time, and you're really not connected to a church. So is this belief in high ecclesiology, like the church is supposed to be valuable? It really bothered these missionaries. And it's like, man, this isn't right. So they started creating a ministry to speak back into the local church that sends. And we've been all over the place. And that was 16 years ago. So kind of in 2008, that started with those two missionaries. They're now stateside leading organization in different ways. Upstream, we've served in a deep way through like coaching maybe 300 or 400 churches over the last 15 years. We've had some sort of touch points with several thousand. And then now with Upstream Sending, we're basically inviting them into a network of churches that sends. And we have 20 of those churches that we are like locked arms, building systems, sending to the field. That's kind of the genesis story. So we've been around for 3 years now. I was kind of a solo entrepreneur for a while, and then we hired someone to help us do admin. Now there's a team of 5 of us who are all like serving the churches, serving our field network partners, kind of building this thing.
Okay. Can you talk at all about, you mentioned the staff structure and then kind of the church partner picture. You got hundreds of churches with touch points, but then maybe really 20 that you're really deeply locking arms with. Can you talk at all about what the sending has looked like over the last couple of years that you guys have kind of gotten up to speed and kind of learned some of these things? And I mean, you don't have to give me exact numbers, but maybe kind of some places where you have people and things like that around the world.
Yeah, I think it's important to know. Even the way I answer that question is going to reflect how we're different than most organizations. I have lots of taglines that I use either with my staff or with people we're talking to. And one of them is we partner with the church first and then with the missionary. So a lot of what we're doing is actually we are spending time with missions pastors or we're recruiting new churches who would come into the network. So think about a traditional model where a missionary, you know, fills out an interest form. They go through an application. They go through an assessment development process. Appointed, sent to the field. Well, before that ever begins, we actually are recruiting and talking to church leaders about joining what we call the sending network. And the church applies. We do an assessment with them, kind of where the strengths, weaknesses, where they want to go in sending. And then we give them a growth plan, like a development plan for the church. And then we welcome them into the network. And then we help them send their people. So it's like an intentional bottleneck we've put in that we make sure that we're working with the right kind of church and that we're sending a high quality person. Not that you can't be a high quality person from a church that doesn't send well, but we're just making sure that we're kind of nuancing that. We have that sending network we talked about, a church can join. Then we have the other side of the field network. And those are the people and places we send to. So typically what an agency does is they hire a person. And then they send that hired person to another team that is employed, whereas our field network is actually like trusted relationships. So we are actively sending to other organizations' teams. We're sending to national, international churches. We're sending to international NGOs. But the key is like we have this like trusted relationship and that leader and team have gone through an assessment process. So I say all that, like we have two networks and then we have 8 locations. Field leaders or field networks that we send to act currently.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
The Strengthen MDiv from Southern Seminary offers 21 credit hours of electives, allowing you greater personalization to meet your ministry goals. Use these electives to specialize your study by earning additional credentials in the form of graduate certificates that will equip you for a more effective ministry. Learn more about the new Southern Seminary MDiv at sbts.edu/newMDiv.
Each organization typically sometimes will kind of have a niche that they focus on. You know, this organization focuses on translation or that organization focuses on training. Or how would you describe upstream sending? Is there a niche that you guys are looking at? Or are you guys pretty broad because you're partnering with the churches?
Yeah, I would say we are broad. The way I'd normally answer that question is our niche is the local church. I don't want to be that guy, right, who like has a trump card. But my point is, we're trying to help the church send well, and then we're trying to help the church on the field receive well. So that centrality of the church isn't just U.S. North American based. It's actually like honoring and empowering the church on the field. So that church centrality. So I would say that really is our niche. And then I would say the other thing that is key to us when it comes to strategy, this is a weird way to say it, but we're actually really big on alignment. We want theological alignment, and we're not an organization that's like super, super specific, right? I know there's really good organizations that get really, really new up. We're fairly broad. We have like a theological statement. We ask people to sign the Nicene Creed, Lucan Covenant, some historical creeds. But then we have what we call missiological values. There are these 10 things that we rally around and we lift up. So we're not dictating a specific strategy. It's like, not everyone is a church planting. Not everyone is theological education, but we're asking the strategy that they are engaging in flows out of those missiological values.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's great. I think it's very clear. And I think this was your intention. And I think it's good. It's very clear that you're a local church centered. You believe in the primacy of the church and sending. I love that. I think that's huge. Can you talk some about how you work and partner with the church as it relates to kind of the assessment screening process for new missionaries? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think the caveat to all this is it'd be very easy to be idealistic, right? the primacy of the local church, centrality of the local church. But the reality is, like, we're all messy. Churches are messy. Organizations are messy. We're limited. We fail. But we have that, like, core principle so that it affects things like mobilization. It affects things like assessment, development, the sending process. Basically, what we do is we have a process like anyone else's. You can find it detailed online. And there's 8 steps to this, like, sending process. And each one is this interdependent relationship with the church and the agency. So the initial conversation is we do a Zoom call like this. The candidate's on it, someone from our organization's on, and someone from the church. And we're all talking together. Then the candidate gets off and we stay on with the pastor or the leader and say, hey, thumbs up, thumbs down, or like thumbs in the middle. And there are times where the leader's like, hey, that is really helpful. Let me go back to our person and disciple them a little more before we move forward. It's like, okay, great. But all that say, when they move forward, they do the normal things. We have like an application process. The application process moves to an assessment process, like a face-to-face assessment. But someone from our team, someone from the church, and then the candidate, we all do it together. Oftentimes the agency, we are leading out and asking that those assessment questions, these personality profiles, things like that. But we have some of our churches who actually take the lead and we're just there to support them. So again, it's this, we are catering toward the church and the capacity of the church that we work with. And then from that assessment, we use a tool called the personal development plan, which I think specifically in this question, since you asked, I think this is a really important question when we think about the assessment and development. Is a lot of our development, we try to cater to the specific individual, meaning we're not asking individuals to get a specific seminary degree or have a specific level of education or experience. We're looking at the person, the specific person. Actually, like if it's a couple, both of them, the situation on the field, what the church is desiring, what the field leader on the field is desiring. And then we customize a plan with that PDP or that personal development plan. Mm-hmm. And then we move them into this appointment or pre-fill process. And as they're raising support, they're also working through their personal development plan. And they've got to like finish that out before we'll send them to the field. But we craft it. The church speaks into it, shapes it. So again, I'm giving you a lot of details, but the whole point is throughout the appointment application process, the church and the agency, we're working together back and forth.
Yeah, that's good. Kind of a good segue. You mentioned training, theological education. I would love to hear, each organization kind of looks at this differently. I'd love to hear your thoughts on, yeah, what's the role of theological education for potential missionary candidates? Is that a help? Is that a hindrance? How do you guys think through that?
We just require everyone to have a PhD. It's like automatic.
There you go.
Talking to 2 doctorate guys. Man, of course it's important, right?
Yeah.
It's like we are calling people to cross language and cultures to replicate what they've known and experienced. Like what I know of Jesus, what I've experienced with Jesus, I want to take that to other people. And even that was my story overseas. I went overseas as a guy in my mid-20s. I had never been to seminary. And then I was in the mountains of Nepal teaching pastors the Bible. And I was like, uh-oh, I could only take them as far as I had been. So me going back to Southern and doing a master's degree, I came to Southern with questions. Like, I have to have this answered because there are pastors in Nepal who asked me that question. I didn't know how to answer it. So I feel the need of theological education, but because we are, again, when we talked about the development process, the application process, we're trying to meet people where they are with the specific role they have on the field. It's just going to look different.
Yeah.
We have a retired couple who is going to Southern Europe and they're opening a respite home. We call the Renewal Project, where missionaries can come and find rest and renewal in the Lord. They have no theological education, but because of their specific role, we're asking them to read a theology book and engage in some questions of discussion.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that I like the way you kind of state that. I guess and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like what I'm hearing you say is the education, the training theologically should be tailored to what that person's going to be doing on the ground.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
They're going to be doing more pastoral training and these kinds of things, and they need more. If they're going to be doing more of a frontline evangelism type role, they may not need as much, and just kind of depends on what that looks like on the ground.
Yeah, we tailor it to them. But the core principle is we want them to know Jesus. They want them to be renewed in Jesus and be able to articulate that. So yeah. Be it, you know, we're asking theological questions. And then we're asking them to grow in that. I was writing a PDP yesterday for a couple who has all the excitement, but they just don't know what they don't know. And they're going to be blindsided. And in the section, we break it into three sections: knowledge, character, skills. And in the knowledge piece, it is like, you should think about theological education as a lifelong pursuit. Hmm. It's not seeking a degree. It's you want to know more about Jesus.
That's right.
Experience more of him so you can share more of him.
Amen.
So just trying to cast that kind of vision to the people we send.
Yeah, that's great. I want to switch to a fun topic, and that is funding. How do you guys think through fundraising? What does that look like? Yeah, what's the role of the church? What's the role of you guys as it relates to kind of missionaries raising their funds, raising their support, getting out on the field?
When we were starting this whole thing, one of the things I was committed to, you know, one of our core values as an organization is innovation and missions. We're upstream, right? We're thinking and acting upstream. And I was like, there has to be an innovative way to fund missions, right? There are things like the cooperative program. There are things like faith-based missions. There are things like businesses mission kind of stuff, but they all have pros and cons. But the world has changed. Surely there is a new type of way. And it's just really hard. I got on the phone with so many people in this world, in the missions world. So we're actually committed to an innovative way to do this. And I want to try some new stuff. We just aren't there yet. But our current model is a little different. So we're a faith-based agency, meaning like you would raise support to go. We take an 8% admin fee from every dollar that comes in. So that helps cover some administrative costs. And I'm sure you know that. That is like extremely low for kind of the sending world. We can't really pay our bills that way. But we have like a twofold way. We take that 8% fee. And then when a church joins the sending network, they pay like member dues. So they pay a monthly or yearly, they give us money. We're one of their partners. And those two things are able to help fund the sending of missionaries. I like that philosophically because it's not just saying, hey, the church has a significant role in missions. It's like, yeah, you do. And you actually have to put your money where your mouth is.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good. I appreciate you sharing that. That's a neat perspective. You know, Nathan, you sit in an interesting seat. You get to hear some exciting things that the Lord's doing around the world. Maybe just, we don't have time for a lot, but maybe just briefly, can you tell us something that you've heard over the last month, 3 months, 6 months, maybe someone who's been sent out by you guys that you're really encouraged to hear about?
Yeah. Can I give you two things?
Please.
Thanks. One is we have a marketplace pathway. And basically what we do is we're helping our churches send people to the field who already have jobs, who have already have opportunities. So we're trying to take away a lot of that red tape. And again, that's familiar with a lot of people. But all that to say, we have a couple who was an executive at an organization outside of Atlanta. He could work from anywhere. So he started working at a large city in Europe. Mm-hmm. And they basically just started living like Christians. What I mean by that is he's inviting coworkers into his home. They're serving in their local church. And I get pictures from them and they'll have a women's tea and they'll have seven nationalities sitting in their home and they're teaching the Bible. And they have access to people that a traditional missionary would struggle to have access to. And it's just a beautiful thing, right? And the bar was really low. That was a beautiful story of kind of a marketplace sending. I think the other thing is we have a team in North Africa who is doing really beautiful work. He runs a business. He's kind of in the food industry and he has access to like shops and restaurants. And then they are working alongside the very small national church. I mean, like extremely small national church. And they've just seen some beautiful fruit. They saw a lady come to faith and be baptized from a minority group. It's a little complicated, but all that to say, the majority of people in the church, there's like racial tension and they've welcomed her. And the gospel is like broken down barriers. And then they've seen missionaries from Korea join in their ministry and take a lead in evangelism. So it's a beautiful story, this like global church coming together and the gospel really over a decade of no fruit, of plotting, seeing the gospel begin to break through a really, really difficult place. It's just been overwhelming, God's goodness in that.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Master of Divinity students can save over $1,800 each semester by training for ministry on the Southern Seminary campus. Join us for our next Southern Seminary Preview Day to learn how the Master of Divinity will prepare you for a lifetime of faithfulness.
Register today at sbts.edu/preview.
I want to shift to some lightning round questions. I'd love to hear you tell me what your favorite missionary biography is.
You asked the wrong dude about that, man. I've got three on my desk. I want to show it to you. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. One is To the Golden Shore, Adoniram Judson, right? When I was a single missionary, I read this and it was the first book I had read that gave a realistic picture of missions, right? I don't know if you remember when he buried his wife and his daughter and he like digs a grave beside it and just sits in it for weeks. And I was like, oh, because that was what I was experiencing. Like, this is not as romantic as I thought it would be, but to see God's faithfulness in it. I was seeking to work with Tibetan. So there's this book, probably no one's ever heard of. It's called Forgotten Land, A Saga of Tibet. And it's about this guy, Jeffrey Bull, who seeks to be a missionary there. Sees very little fruit. He's actually in prison, has mental illness issues because of it. Again, realistic picture, but you can see God's sovereign hand throughout. And then this last one is called On Being a Missionary. It's not your traditional missionary biography, but it's a medical missionary from Nepal. His name is Thomas Hale. This is like a missionary life and work book, but it goes from his like call all the way to his retirement. It's like a narrative. And then he gives like lessons learned from his life. It's one of the best mission books I've ever read.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that. I was familiar with one of those and two of those I want to get my hands on. So, all right, the next question is a fill in the blank question. You know, you guys are fairly new and kind of get things up and rolling. Fill in the blank, the greatest challenge facing upstream sending today is blank.
Yeah, that's a good question. I have been thinking about that. There's all kinds of things I could say, right? Like every executive director's like, well, money, or maybe there's a field crisis, you know, things like that. You know, we have someone who's in Israel right now. Like that's a difficult challenge. But I would say overarching, it's actually to see this model take root and to get the right churches in the network. There are churches out there who I think would thrive in this model of we're empowering the church to send their people and then we do it together. It's interdependent, but it's actually meeting them and convincing them of the model and getting them to take a chance on us, which is, you said you're sort of new. We are very new, right? There are organizations who've been out there for 180 years and we've been doing this for 3. Now our team has lots of experience, but I think that newness can be seen as a liability and I totally get it. But actually getting a church to say, I believe in the vision you have and I'm going to jump in with you, I think is both a struggle and really wanting to see fruit in that.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Last question. Someone's listening right now and says, okay, Nathan, you've done a great job. You convinced me and my church, we're in, we'd like to have a conversation. We want to dive in. What's their first steps? What advice would you give to them? How do they get kind of connected with you guys?
Everything starts with relationship. You're picking that up, hopefully. So you could just email me, Nathan@upstreamsending.com, or you can get our website, upstreamsending.com. And let's just get on a call and talk. And let's see, we're not an agency for everybody. We're this boutique agency for churches who want to get their hands dirty. And if that's for you, let's start with the conversation. I think if I could also answer, if you are on the field and you're leading a team, maybe you're a pastor of an international church or you're a global pastor, you're Nepali or Chinese or Kenyan, and you want to lock arms with an agency that seeks to empower you, same thing. Give me a call and we would love for you to consider joining our field network. And the last thing I would say is if you're a missionary or a prospective missionary and you're like, man, I'd really like to be a part of this agency, send our stuff to your missions pastor. Or send our stuff to your lay pastor and see if the church has an interest. Because I think the beauty of what we have to offer is it's not just sending a person, but we can empower the church to send well.
Amen. Nathan, thank you so much for your time, for the conversation today.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I ask you a question?
You can. Let's go.
I'm interested. You have talked to some of my favorite mission agencies and you talked to some of my favorite leaders. Do you feel like there's any like wisdom? What wisdom or themes have you gleaned from these leaders?
I think that's a good question. So, I mean, for me, it's a variety of different organizations that all have different focuses, all have different emphases. I see the need for all of them in different ways. I think for me, the thing that comes back and what makes me even most excited about you guys and what you're wanting to do in the vision you're casting is a renewed and refreshed understanding of the role, the centrality of the local church. In mission. I think that is something that we've seen a bit of a paradigm shift over the last several decades. You know, I think if we went back to the 80s or the 70s, I think it was kind of a lot of churches were outsourcing Great Commission work. And it was kind of like, hey, we're not the professional, we're not the experts, so go contact this organization or that sending agency. And I think those organizations and agencies are vital. But I think they're best set up, best positioned when they understand that they exist to serve local churches. And so I've been really encouraged as I've talked with these different organizations, different agencies, that theme has kind of continued to be sounded, obviously in different ways, because each organization is a little bit different. But I'm very encouraged to hear more and more organizations saying, we need the local church. This is really the local church's task, and we exist alongside of them. I mean, that's kind of the whole language of para church, para, meaning alongside. And I think when organizations understand that, I think that's actually when they're going to be their strongest, that they exist to serve. So that to me would be kind of the theme that sticks out in my mind the most. The other thing that would kind of stand out that has not been clearly answered, but has been alluded to in a variety of different ways and hinted at, is what is the ongoing role of the Western church and Western missionaries? I think even the way you answered that last question, where you said, hey, if you're a church in China or a church in Kenya or a church in this part of the world, like, we want to work with you. I think, yeah, there's more and more question marks, more and more discussion about, yeah, what is the ongoing role of the Western church and Western missionaries as we have this rise in the global South, as we have a little bit of a decline of Christianity in Europe and North America? Yeah, what does that look like? How do we think through kind of new models, new paradigms? I don't have any kind of silver bullet answer to that, but I think that's something that every organization, I think, is at least thinking through. And so it's going to be interesting to see kind of how that plays out in the next decade or so.
That's good. That's very helpful.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate it.
To hear more conversations like this, please subscribe to this podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media. Thanks again for listening to this episode.
Amazon to the Himalayas is brought to you by the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. At Southern Seminary, we're preparing the next wave of missionaries, church planters, Bible translators, and more for a lifetime of faithfulness to the Great Commission. To learn more about how Southern Seminary can prepare you to take the gospel from the Amazon to the Himalayas, visit sbts.edu. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.